Great to be in church on a lovely morning like today. And thanks again to everybody who had a part to play in the carols last Sunday night. It was a fantastic night. Wonderful to see so many people from the local community there. And just a wonderful opportunity for us as a church to be able to make that connection with our local neighbourhood and to share with them something of the joy of Christmas. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I don't think that you see our church working so well together as a team as we do when we put the carols on each year. So many people involved, and it's wonderful to see. Well, 37 years ago, I headed off to the country to start a new phase of my life as a country doctor. And little did I know when I first arrived there in Billawela, how much I would have to learn about how to do things in this little country hospital. I was on a very fast learning curve, but one of the skills that I had to develop very early on in the piece was how to take x-rays. They hadn't taught us how to take x-rays when we were at medical school, and my teacher in the Billawela Hospital was the hospital wardsman, and he was in his late 60s, and one of the jobs that he had inherited along the way was the job of taking x-rays in the hospital. Now, you need to understand that things were very, very basic, and we had this small room where we had this very, very ancient x-ray machine, and if somebody came in with a bad arm or with a bad chest or something like that, we would have to sort of line them up and we would have to take these x-rays. But that was only just the start. We then had to develop those x-rays. And next to the x-ray room, we had this little developing room, and it had a little light on the outside, and when that light was on, nobody was allowed to go in there because it was completely dark in there. And there, inside this room, you would have to then open the cassette and take out the x-ray, which in some cases was that size. And we then had several tanks filled with different solutions, developing solutions and things like that, and we'd have to put these things onto special frames and dip them into these solutions. And then we would have to then put the developed film into a drying cabinet, and it would sit in that drying cabinet for about another 3 or 4 minutes until it was dry and could be read. Now, that whole process, just to take an x-ray, would take about 12 minutes. And so there you are, inside this dark room for about 12 minutes, sort of just feeling your way around the room. And I mean, it sounds so ancient, but that was just the way that you did things back in those days in this small country hospital. Funny part about it is that when Jim, that old wardsman, retired, we had to find somebody to replace him. And the only guy that we could think of was the gardener. And he was about 65, and so we trained Wally up. And he had to do a little test to get accredited, and Wally could hardly even read the instructions, let alone pass the test. And so I had to do the test for him and pass the test and convince the authorities that Wally really was qualified, that he knew how to take these x-rays. But anyway, you wouldn't get away with it these days. After a couple of years, they gave us a special machine that did the developing for us, and we didn't have to worry about it anymore. But the reason why I tell you this story is the thing that sticks in my mind so vividly is after being in the darkness there for about 12 minutes or so, to come out into the light was so wonderful. You know, you'd be in there just waiting, and it was a bit boring because there wasn't much to do, but you couldn't open the door because if you opened the door, it would destroy the whole process. And sometimes it didn't work anyway, and then you'd have to take another film and do it all over again. It was very time-consuming. But, you know, light was such a wonderful revelation after being stuck in this tiny little dark room, claustrophobic room all that time. And I know that most of you probably haven't had that kind of experience, but, I mean, you'll know what it is to live through a blackout. You know, there's a storm on and the lights go out and you're sort of there waiting for the lights to come on. And then suddenly the lights come on and everything is so much you know, all the anxiety goes, and the kids are happy, and you can see where you're going. You can put the torch or the candle away, and life's back to normal again. Well, the coming of Jesus into the world 2,000 years ago is likened in the Bible to the switching on of a light. And you just imagine for a moment what it was like living in Israel at the time of Jesus' birth. All right, the world is in darkness. The people in Jesus' day were living in spiritual darkness. Why? They had their religion. They had the law of Moses. They had the temple. They had the priests. They had the sacrifices. But they were in spiritual darkness. Their religion meant that they were trapped in this endless cycle of ceremonies and rituals. And those things may have made them kind of feel good on a short-term basis. They'd make their pilgrimage to the temple and they would go through the rituals of passing over their sacrificial animal to the priest and having its throat slit and sacrificed there on the altar there in the temple. They'd feel good about it themselves. But in reality, they were living in darkness. They were far from God. These were the people that God had chosen to be his special people. And yet, they desperately needed light. We look again at those verses that Kai read for us a few moments ago from John chapter 1. Let's read the first five verses again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I think, you know, the real tragedy of those days, that those people who were so religious didn't even realise that they were living in darkness. It was like the blind leading the blind. They had the priests, they had the Pharisees, they had all the systems in place. But they didn't know God. And they weren't even interested in knowing anything about Jesus, especially in those early days. They thought they were okay. As we think about what it was like back in those days, let's just think for a moment about what it's like today. It's a world of darkness, just as it was 2,000 years ago. And the evidence of that darkness is all around us today. I mean, we live in a world today that is becoming increasingly immune to sin, tolerant of sin. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, this was the warning that God gave to the people through Isaiah back 700 years or so before Christ. Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That was the world 700 years before Christ. It was the world 2,000 years ago at the time of Christ. And it is the world today that we live in, that winks at sin. And of course, we've seen graphic evidence of that recently in the laws that are being passed in our land. We have an education system in our state today that is promoting a safe schools program in which children are being taught that it's okay to sin. A program that blatantly endorses a sinful lifestyle. We live in a world today where people worship idols, the idols of sport and of entertainment and success and money, those sorts of things. The almighty dollar has captured the hearts of people today. They put their hopes and their dreams in getting more and more toys to play with. And they think these are the sorts of things that are going to make them happy, going to solve their problems, going to give them peace of mind. But of course, that's rubbish. How wrong they are. You see, we live in a nation of darkness. There are people who are saying today that the kind of world that we're living in is like Sodom and Gomorrah. We're a nation in darkness. Our real problem today is not social and it's not economic and it's not political, it's spiritual. We're in darkness. And here we are fumbling around, desperately needing some light. And I think, again, it's very sad today that there are many people who are very religious in their own way. But it's not giving them light. Religion never gives light. Just like it was back in the days of Jesus. There are people today who go to church. They follow the Ten Commandments. They live by the golden rule. They're trying their best to live a morally upright life. Say and do the right things. But you see, religion doesn't save people. Only Jesus can do that. And that's what makes religion so dangerous. It's subtle. When you think about it, there are probably more people going to hell as a result of religion than just about any other cause. It's very easy for us to focus on the very overt sins that are out there these days. And we know that there are those people who are big-S sinners that are out there. But there are probably more people who are devout people, who are religious people, who are still in the darkness. You see, Jesus was the one whom God sent into the world at that first Christmas to bring light to that world. So how does light work? Well, it works in two ways. Firstly, it works by exposing sin. If you just flip over to John chapter 3, this is what it says in verses 19 and 20. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Devastating words. Look at verse 19 there. People loved darkness instead of light. Verse 20, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I don't know whether you've ever climbed up into a manhole with a torch. I'm sure many of you men have done that at some point in the past there. What do you find when you get up there into that manhole? Well, you find spiders, that's right. You find cobwebs. You may find an old snake skin. And you see the rubbish there that's been stashed away for perhaps 40 or 50 years. And you know, our lives are like that. There's stuff that's hidden away there. Junk in our lives. Sins that have maybe been hiding there for many, many years. The sins of our past, the things that we're ashamed of and embarrassed about, the stuff that lurks in the backs of our minds and our imaginations that nobody else knows about. And you know what? Jesus has come to expose that sin. There's something very uncomfortable about having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And the thing that makes that encounter so powerful is that we cannot fool the Lord. You can be a hypocrite in front of other people. You can hide your real self from them. But there's no point in trying to be a hypocrite with Jesus because he can see right through us. He knows exactly what's going on in our minds and in our hearts. He sees the stuff in our lives that is otherwise invisible and unknown. He is the light of the world, and his light shines into every crack and crevice in our lives. And one day we're going to all be exposed for who we really are. The question is whether we're going to be exposed now while we still have an opportunity to have something done about that sin, or were they going to wait until the judgment day when all the truth about us is going to be revealed? Sin is very serious. Our whole eternal destiny is dependent on what we do about the sin in our lives. And that's exactly why we need Jesus and the light that he gives, so that the darkness in our hearts can be exposed and dealt with. Our pride, our selfishness, our desire to live our lives without God, the idols that we worship instead of God. When I was a teenager, I went to boarding school for 6 years. And I wish I could stand before you this morning and tell you I was the perfect student, but I wasn't. And one night I can distinctly remember having a water fight. The prefects had gone away and we were supposed to be asleep, and somebody pulled out, we didn't have water pistols, we used to use plastic bottles, and we just drill a hole in the lid and fill them up with water, and you could get quite a powerful jet out of those things, and everybody had them. And one night we were having a water fight after lights out, and then the word went up, the prefect was coming, and so we very quickly jumped back into bed and started snoring very loudly. The problem was that when we woke up the next day, we realised that we had red stains all down us, and one of the guys had put some red ink into his water bottle. And of course the first question is, how did you get that? The light exposed us, and of course we had to fess up that we'd been misbehaving after lights out the night before. And Christ exposes who we really are, what we're really like deep inside. Romans chapter 3 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. There is no one righteous, not even one. And so that's the first thing about the light of Jesus. It exposes us for who we are. But light does more than that. The light of Jesus also reveals the truth. Just like the light shows up the dirt and the spider webs and the snake skins and those sorts of things, it also gives clarity and direction to our lives. It shows us the way that we should go. It saves us from getting lost and from bumping into things and having accidents. And when Jesus came, he showed a whole new way that God wanted us to live. He came with a message of good news for a world that was fumbling around in the dark. A world that was lost and didn't have direction. And so when God sent Jesus into the world, he came to show us the way to God himself. It's interesting that that in Isaiah chapter 61, where it talks about the mission of the Messiah, it tells us that he came to proclaim good news. Good news to those who are spiritually poor, to those who are spiritually brokenhearted, to those who are captives in their sin. He came to proclaim the Lord's favour on those who were living in spiritual darkness. That was the reason why Jesus came. He came to offer hope to people who were sinners. People who are honest enough to admit and to face up to their sinful ways. People who are prepared to look with honest hearts and minds into the face of Jesus and confess their addictions, their lifestyle choices, the idols in the world that they've been serving. Maybe even to confess that they had really been living their lives according to a religion based upon what they do themselves rather than what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. In John 3, verse 21, it says, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." When you come into the light of Jesus, you come to live by the truth. I find there's a tendency in Christian circles these days for us to spend a lot of time decrying the condition, the spiritual condition of Australia today. But what we do when we overly focus on the negative, we forget that that light that came into the world 2,000 years ago is still shining today. I think there are too many people these days who are kind of metaphorically speaking, they're putting up the white flag and they're writing Ichabod across our nation. The glory has departed. Woe is us. Yes, things are bad, but the light of Jesus is still shining. It came 2,000 years ago and it is still shining today, friends. And Jesus is still calling out people today who will repent and follow him and walk in the truth. Do we believe that? And that's the call to each one of us today, and especially as we think about Christmas. Let's remind ourselves that that Christmas is a time when we should be celebrating the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, because the light has come into the world and pushed away the darkness. The people who were living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Those who are living in darkness don't have to live in the darkness anymore. Let's read again from John chapter 1, our Bible reading this morning. Verse 9. "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own," that's his own Jewish people, "but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And friends, Christmas is a wonderful opportunity for us to remind ourselves that Jesus, the one who is full of grace and full of truth, has come, and he's come for us. He's come for everybody here who will receive him, who will believe in his name. Jesus came to take away our sin. And he did that, of course, by dying on the cross for us. Yes, we are sinners, but as verse 12 there reminds us, "Yet to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Children who are born of God. Are you a child of God this morning? Are you in God's family? Have you been born again spiritually into his family? Maybe you're not sure this morning. Friends, I just want to say that we cannot save ourselves. It doesn't matter how hard we try. It doesn't matter what we do. Doesn't matter how good we might think we are, we cannot by our own efforts save ourselves. The only one who can save us, who can bring us from darkness into light, is Jesus Christ himself. In John chapter 8, this is what Jesus said about himself. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let me just say that again. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, says Jesus, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, we don't have to walk in darkness. Christ wants to give us direction, purpose, meaning, clarity, certainty in our lives. He wants to do that by bringing us into his family, opening up the way for us to know God, to be right with him. And if you're not a Christian this morning, friends, could I urge you to take the opportunity that God is giving you today to walk in light, to repent of your sin and to trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone to save you. Let him switch on the light, as it were. What a wonderful Christmas this would be for you, to be able to sing those carols and rejoice in the message of Christmas because you know Jesus personally. Could be the best Christmas you've ever had. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe there's some sin, some junk tucked away in your life today that you've been hiding from everybody. Can I just say this morning that this passage that we've been looking at is reminding us this morning again that we cannot hide from the light of Christ. We need to confess that sin and put it right with God. But if we do, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. But I think there's one other challenge that comes out of this as well too, because we know people, maybe members of our own family, maybe close friends, maybe workmates, whoever they may be, who are still living in darkness. And we have an opportunity, and we are being challenged this morning to take those opportunities to be able to point them to Jesus Christ. I think perhaps Christmas gives us a special opportunity to be able to do that. Be able to explain to somebody else that those lights that you see flashing on the Christmas tree, those lights that you see plastered on homes and things like that, are a reminder to us that the light has come. Let's take the opportunities that God might give us, even over these next couple of days, to be able to share something of the reality of Jesus with those who are in darkness, that they also might discover the light that can be found in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we marvel that you would take on human flesh and come and live among us, that we might see your glory and live in its light. Oh, Father, we pray for our nation, and it grieves us, Lord, when we see people worshipping at the altar of money and sex and power and pleasure and those sorts of things. Many of those people won't even spare a thought for you over these next couple of days. But Lord, for ourselves, we pray that you'd fill our hearts with a fresh love for Jesus this Christmas. Thank you that we've been able to come to see the light and to enjoy living within that light. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to be able to share that message with those who are still living in darkness. Lord, I just want to pray especially this morning if there's somebody here who is living in darkness, somebody who has never given their life to Christ. Well, Father, I pray that you would today help them to be able to see the one who is full of grace and truth, the Lord Jesus. Put their trust in him. Become his child today. Oh, Father, speak to them. convince them this morning of the truth that is in Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name.